Good evening, class. We're back again. And this time we're going to take this lesson from last week just a little bit further. And here's another example here of obedience to God's will. It's going to be brought a little bit further through our master. Our master going to give us an example. We're going to see something that our master, Jesus, experienced that going to shed more light on what we tried to explain last week. On obedience to God's will is the greatest demand of the Bible, but we're going to see this thing in a more vivid color here. And we're going to see that what Jesus dealt with is on the same principle as 1 Samuel 15:22. Well, what does 1 Samuel 15:22? The B part of that verse says, obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's a very strong statement, class. Obedience is better than sacrifice, because God don't really want sacrifice unless he orders sacrifice. Now, we're going to find something in this lesson here that's going to be so important to what we discussed in last week, class here. And so, this lesson is going to be dealing with our Lord's Prayer in Gethsemane, dealing with Matthew 26 and 46. If you will, turn your Bible with me to Matthew 26 and 46. We're not going to read the whole thing just yet, but we're going to read this one scripture here to let you know where we're going with this lesson here. Matthew 26, verse 46. We're dealing with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying unto the Father that God's will be done. Unlike Saul was dealing with another situation. God did not order a sacrifice with Saul. But he wanted to present a sacrifice. And in this particular lesson here, God ordered a sacrifice. And now Jesus is the one that has to deal with the sacrifice. But we're going to find out that the sacrifice wasn't the most important thing to God. What did I say? What, the cross was not the most important thing to God at this point? Yes, that's what I said. We're going to find out there's something else was most important to God. Just so happened the cross was happened to be involved in it. You see it? And so what I said in the scripture, we're going to Matthew 26. I'm going to find it before the class over with. Matthew 26. Just stick with me. Matthew 26. 26 and 46. Here it is. I knew I would find it. Let's see. I might have to read a little bit more, Claire. Might have to go a little bit further. Let's start at verse 40. Verse 40. 26 and 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto them, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? This is the sentiment. Watch and pray that you enter not temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, underline these words in class, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. Then coming he to the disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. 46 verse says, rise, let us be gone. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. Now, let's go to our lesson. I want to read those scriptures to prelude and what we're about to endeavor here in this particular class here. Listen to this statement, class. And we're going to put these two things together here, these two lessons together, and we're going to see the similarity in these two lessons that's so important to what we're trying to accomplish in this particular class. It says, some think our Lord prayer in Gethsemane, when his sweat fell like great drops of blood, was due to the weakness of his flesh, to his fear of drinking the cup. Not at all, for the prayer in Gethsemane is on the same principle as 1 Samuel 15:22. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus did feel the agony of death. Jesus did feel the cross and approaching him and knowing he's going to have to die. He did feel it because he was a man, but he was also God. And so I don't want to leave that out and think sometimes the agony of going to the cross didn't affect him. Sure it did. Sure it did. But that's what he's saying, that's one of the main reason for the sweat as great drops of blood. Something more deeper was being transpired at this particular time in Jesus' life and his ministry, because now the will of God is at hand. The will of God is the principal thing that's standing between me and the cross right now. The will of God. And so God had to confirm this in his Son. How important his will was at this particular time. Confirm it to his flesh side. How important the will of God is. Sometimes your flesh got to be convinced. Your flesh got to be convinced of the will of God. Because your flesh do not want to obey God. Your flesh is enmity to the spirit, the Bible says. Enmity. It's an enemy to the spirit. It don't want you to obey God nor the things of the spirit of God. So your greatest battle is with your flesh. Jesus said earlier, I just read it, for the spirit is willing, but that flesh is weak. It does not want to always obey God. It does not want to obey God. So you got to take the authority over that flesh. And Jesus, through his prayer, what he was doing was he was putting his flesh under that his spirit man could stand up and take control of the whole situation and follow the will of God. Are you with me? All right. It is the highest prayer in which our Lord expresses his obedience to God's authority. Oh, this prayer of consecration to God. Our Lord obeys God's authority first, more than sacrificing himself on the cross. Boy, that's a powerful statement. Our Lord obeys God's authority first, more than sacrificing himself on the cross. Now, let me keep reading till I get to the hot point I want to get to. Jesus prayed earnestly that he may know what is the will of God. He does not say, I want to be crucified. I must drink the cup. He merely insisted on obeying. Jesus prayed three times, the Bible said. But as he said, he never did say, I want to be crucified. No. because honestly, his flesh did not want to be crucified. Matter of fact, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, he went on further. Not as I will, but thy will be done. And so you're going to see in a little bit what's going to happen here. He said, in effect, if it be possible for me not to go to the cross, but even here, and here's an important subject here, but even here, he has not his own will. He wouldn't let that become part of his will. Even if the possibility of him not going to the cross, he would not subject that to God's will. Because he instantly said this. Immediately he continued, but thy will be done. Not my will, not my flesh will be done. So sometimes, class, what are we saying? Sometimes is when you come to doing God's will, your flesh, your feeling, your feeling, your soul, your emotion, your own will gets in the way, and it can misdirect you from doing God's will. So now let's go to that point. Now, at this time, the will of God is not the cross right now. You see it? The cross, not the will of God. This, matter of fact, it's two separate entities here. You got the cross on one side here, and then you got the will of God on this side here. Why? They hadn't become one yet. The cross is before him, but now he got to make sure that's what God wants. Sometimes things come before you. Sometimes opportunities come before you. Sometimes offers are, listen to me close, class. Sometimes offers are made before you. And so you got an offer on one side, seem like a good offer, and then you got the will of God on this side. And sometimes it looks so good and so easy to take the offer. It looks so, but the will of God still stands on this side. And they're not become one yet. What Jesus did, Jesus prayed till he found out what the will of God was, and so to see if the offer and the will of God is the same. You always need to know what the will of God is, class. I'm trying to simplify it so we'll know and we don't get in error. Sometimes I've seen people leave ahead of time in ministry because offers were made to them, and it looks good. And sometimes it seemed like the right thing to do. Like Saul, it seemed like I'm doing the will of God. But at the same time, they never confer God's will over here. Say, Lord, and let this offer become one. I tell you what, it'll solve a lot of things for you when you begin to learn what the will of God is. When you begin to take time. Separate yourself for a little while. Separate yourself from the cross. Separate yourself until you find out that the cross is the will of God. That's what Jesus had to do. He had to separate himself from the cross long enough for God to talk to him. And let that become one. Let that become one with God. All right, Claire? I hope you understand where we're going with this. It's a very, very important lesson for your life. So many times, we have an idea or thought and want God to bless it. I threw that statement in, class. So often, we have an idea or a plan, and then we want God to bless it, or a thought, and want God to bless it. And it's not God's will. Sometimes it's not God's will. Listen to this statement. The will of God is the absolute thing. The will of God, I say, is on this side. That's the absolute. This is what God wants, without a doubt. Most definitely, the will of God. But sometimes you don't know what it is yet. Sometimes you think it's the cross on this side. Sometimes you think the cross was the will of God. The cross at this time was a means. You see, you got to realize, God could have many ways to redeem man. The cross just happened to be one of them. And so let's read, and we're gonna make some more sense as we go. The will of God is the absolute thing. The cup, that is, the crucifixion, is not absolute. It wasn't absolute at this particular time. Should God will that the Lord not be crucified, then he will not need to go to the cross. See, if his will was for him not to be crucified, the cross would be out the picture here. Hence, before Jesus knew the will of God, the cup and God's will were two separate things. After he knew it was God, it was of God, however, the cup and God's will merged into one. Now that's what I'm trying to get you to see. When Jesus prayed these three times, that 46th verse, he said, okay, I got it now. Arise, let us be gone. It was revealed by God's Spirit to Jesus that the cup was for the cross and God's will became one. They merged into one. When Jesus said, I got it, he was set to go. He was totally convinced. He didn't care what happened afterwards. Not that he didn't care, but he was ready to go through the cross. Because you know, if I go through the means of the cross, God going with me. And that's where people miss it at. That's where people miss it at. Once you're with the will of God, I don't care how difficult something may be, God going with you. But if you got your own will and your own plan and things get a little difficult, guess what? If God ain't in it, you're on your own. Most people are out there on their own, thinking God with them. That's a terrible thing to think God with you and he's not. Oh, you don't want to make no decision without God in it. Because God in it, it wouldn't make the difference. God in it wouldn't make it successful. God in it wouldn't make you a winner. God in it wouldn't make you come out on the other side. God in it wouldn't make you be able to be seated on the right-hand side of the Father. You see it? You see it? Jesus knew that once he was one with God and one with God's will, that he was going to come out on top. Let us be going. Let us be going. This is a wonderful class. This is a wonderful lesson. Will, listen at this now. Will, you got it in your book on the line. Will represents authority. And I need to put something before that statement because there's so many different types of will. Take your pen or your pencil and write God's will represents authority. See, only when it's God's will, it becomes authority. You see it? So when Jesus began to obey God's will, then it was the symbolic of God's authority. God's will always represents his authority. So I don't care what you're doing. What are you trying to find out? I'm trying to find out what God's will is. Because once I find out what God's will is, that's the ultimate thing, and that's the absolute thing. There's nothing higher than the will of God. Because God's will is authority. What do you mean is authority? God's will is God himself. If you can function, I don't care what you're dealing with, find out what the will of God is for that thing. You know, most people, they go through things in life, and most people are troubled about many things. They're frustrated, confused about many things, because they never took time to find what the will of God is. You see, whatever you do, make sure God is in it. His will is in it. You know, people buy things ahead of time. You see it? You know, they do things and say, God, can you bless this, Lord? Can you bless this? God said, I'm not in that. You know what God said? You bless it. I'm not blessing it. And so sometimes it's just good to be able to have the comfort of knowing I'm right smack in the will of God. You know why Apostle's so successful? Because he met who? Jesus. He made sure he right smack in God's will. He don't make no overnight decision. He always say, take about 3 days. He always used the Trinity. Take about 3 days to pray about it. And see if you have the same feeling. Before you buy, make a big investment in something. Take about 3 days and pray about it. And see if the law still, then see if you still want that thing. Most of the time, after 3 days, you're going to find out, I really don't. The Holy Ghost will be able to reveal to you what the real will of God is. Sometimes we get excited over different things. You see it? Always find out what the will of God is. Everything, God's will. If you're a child of God, everything got to be in God's will. You see it? And that's what I need you to know in this class here. Find out what the will of God is. All right. Therefore, to know God's will and to obey it is to be subject to authority. But how can one be subject to authority if he does not pray or have the heart to know God's will? Isn't that a wonderful question? You see it? The cup which the Father had given me, shall I not drink it, says the Lord? That's in John 18:11. Here Jesus maintained the supremacy of authority of God, not the cup, not the cross. You see it? It's the supremacy. Jesus maintained the supremacy of the authority of God. It's always following God's authority before anything else, not so much the cross. You see it? But once you know the cross is God's authority, then you follow it. See, that could be anything, Claire. Further, having once understood that drinking a cup, that is, being crucified for the atonement, is God's will, he instantly said, arise, let us be gone. You see it? He had no problem with it. You have no problem with obeying God if you knew what God's will is. And guess what? When you find out what God's will is, that when Matthew 11:28 fall into play. For my yoke is easy. Then it gets easy when you know God's will in it. Why? Because I'm not fueling it. God's fueling it. You see it? I'm not calling this to manifest. God's gonna call it to manifest. Just find out that's God's will. You don't have to make it happen. God said, I'm going to make it happen because it's in my will and my plan. Yep. I'm trying to stress everywhere I can how important it is to make sure you know you're in God's will and God's plan. In going to the cross, he accomplishes God's will. Consequently, the law's debt is the highest expression of obedience to authority. And if we're going to read, we're going to get to that chapter in Philippians 4, how God highly exalted him. You see, he was the master. Jesus is and was the master of obedience because he never detoured from the will of God, and so he never detoured from God's authority. Therefore, God gave him the highest position of authority, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everything is subject unto Jesus because Jesus submitted to the Father's will and did the will of God and came out on top. Are you with me? Even the cross, which is the crux of the universe, cannot be higher than God's will. Boy, that's a big statement. You would think that's a sacrilegious statement in the natural. Even the cross, you see it? Which is the crux of the universe. Why is the crux of the universe? Because there was no salvation unless Jesus went through the cross. There was no redemption for man unless Jesus went to the cross. So it's the highest crux of the universe. It's the most important thing that Jesus ever did. But yet, at that time, it still ain't higher than the will of God. And the reason why it's the most important thing, because it became the will of God. And it is the will of God. I hope I'm making sense, Glenn. We're not belittling the cross. Thank God for the cross. But the cross had to be the will of God, which is higher than the cross. The cross was a means by which God redeemed him. As I say, God could have used any means he wanted to. But when the cross became the tool that God needed for him to use to bring redemption to man, that became the most important thing in the universe. Right now, the cross is the most important thing in the universe because it's the will of God. We all got to come by the way of the cross. There's no salvation by no other means but by way of the cross. Why? Because God made that authority because Jesus submitted to his divine will. I hope I'm making sense, Claire. It's important. Why? Why? Because the will of God is the absolute thing. And that's what makes things authority. And that's why you got to make sure you understand what the will of the Lord is. I hope, stick with me, Claire. To serve God, we are not called to choose. I'll be going back to this statement, Claire. You're going back to this statement in last week lesson. To serve God, we are not called to choose self-denial. I hope it makes more sense now. Or sacrifice. Rather, we are called to fulfill God's purpose. You see it? I'm going to read that again. Because you're going to hear this again. To serve God, we are not called to choose self-denial or sacrifice. Rather, we are called to fulfill God's purpose. So sometimes we get caught up in doing a lot of things that God didn't call us to do, even though they may be important things in the spirit realm. But sure, it's nothing wrong with self-denial. But that's not the crux of the whole purpose of God. The whole purpose of God, I'm going to say it again, is obedience to the will of God. The basic principle is not to choose the cross, but to obey God's will. Should the principle in which we work and serve include rebellion? Oh, my goodness. Sooner or later, you know I won't get to this word, huh? Should the principle on which we work and serve include rebellion, then Satan would obtain and enjoy glory even through our sacrifices. And that's what Saul messed up at. The principle which he worked include a principle of rebellion. You see, why? Because he refused to obey the will of God. You see, in that subject. He rebelled against God's will. See, rebellion is so simple. What is rebellion? It's coming against the will of God. It's anti-God. It's working against God. Anytime you look in the New Testament and you see the word against, that means they were rebellious. They were against and opposing God's will. And anytime you oppose God's will, God's plan, God's instruction, then it become rebellion. Now, let's bring it down to earth. Now, God had put authorities, delegated authorities, in this earth realm here. And anytime we oppose them, their instruction, oh my, you're opposing God, which is the principle of rebellion. You see, sooner or later, we're going to get to the point of rebellion because it stinks in God's nostril. You see it? So, Satan will obtain and enjoy glory even through our sacrifices. Saul's sacrifices were not meant for God. It was self-will, and he inflicted that on himself, and God had to reject him from the throne because of his disobedience, and Satan enjoyed that because he got Saul to have one moment of glory and yet suffered the rejection of God from the throne because of his disobedience. Saul might offer sheep and oxen, yet God never accepted them as sacrifice to himself because there was a satanic principle involved. You see, so you can have works. See, that's what I'm trying to get there. You can have a lot of good works and seem like you're doing a lot of good things, seeming like it's for God. But it could be sacrificial. And God never ordered things that you want to do, self-will things. And then you function under the principle of Satan. And therefore, you're under the principle of rebellion. And God cannot bless that one bit. One bit. Saul might offer sheep and oxen, but God never accepted them. As sacrifices offered to him. Because there was a satanic principle involved. If you see that in your book class, underline that. Please, underline that. To overthrow God's authority is to overthrow God. Can you see that? To overthrow God's authority, or let's put this word we've been using, to overthrow God's will, which we say will is authority. To overthrow God's will, you see it, is the same as overthrowing God's authority. Or to overthrow God's authority is to overthrow God. I'm saying the same thing, just a different way. That is why the scripture indicates that rebellion is at the sin of divination. King James said witchcraft. He's reading the Darby translation here in the book. Rebellion at the sin of divination and self-will is as iniquity and idolatry. You see? See, this self-will is as iniquity and idolatry. My goodness. So, self-will is a satanic principle. As God's servant, the first thing we should meet is authority. And class, and this is our intention in this class. This is our intention in this apostolic culture that Apostle is building within our church and churches that connected with us. It's bringing to light and bring it to the forefront, the understanding of authority and how it should be the first thing we meet. No, authority is not to put people under bondage and under burden and to put people not to be free to decide for themselves. No, authority is just to keep people under God's order. See, the apostolic keep everything in the book of Acts. Keep everything in alignment with what God's will is for the earth. See, because so many don't understand the will of the Lord. And so many people don't take time to find out what the will of the Lord is. And therefore, because this group go that way, everybody go that way. And that don't mean not the way the Lord is going. And that's why the apostolic is so important. It keeps us in alignment. And to be able to stay in alignment, you have to have an understanding of what submission is and be willing to submit to that authority. Not bondage, because people are free to do whatever they wish. Whatever they wish. But at the same time, authority, it brings about how would I say that, Lord? Authority bring about a willingly to submit. We're going to find out the difference between submission and obedience. Because we're gonna find out we can be obedient in action. Oh, let me say it another way. You can do something, Claire, and your action look like you're in obedience. Like, for example, your pastor may say, Sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, I need you to take this assignment, and I need you to take care of this, because I believe this is what the Lord wants us to do in this area here. And you do take the assignment. And it looks like you're carrying it out. Because you're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. But in your heart, I don't know why you called me to do this. This ain't what God called me to do. I'm going to do it. But I don't feel like I'm being called to do it. Let me give you an example. You know, Apostle, he was assigning somebody, some people, just years ago, to work in an altar room. And I heard a person say, this ain't my calling here. But yet they did it. They said, this ain't what God called me to do. But yet they were doing it. But this ain't what God called me to do. That was the cry in their heart. This is not what God called me to do. So what I'm saying, you can be obedient in your action over here, but you can be rebellious in your heart over here. So, true authority, true obedience is submission, or willing to yield. Submission is the willingness to yield. So you can be obedient in action, but rebellious at heart, because you're not submitted in your obedience. You have to have submission to your obedience, or willing to submit. So what I'm saying is the apostolic bringing into this culture are willing submission. I'm willing to submit, not by constraint. You see, not by no dictatorship, because God knows all the hearts of men. But when I'm coming under true authority, I submit willingly. Are you with me, Clem? I'm going to make one more statement, and I got to close. As God's servant, let me find it now. The first thing we should meet is authority. To touch authority is as practical as touching salvation, but it is a deeper lesson. Before we can work for God, we must be overturned by his authority. And we're going to get further in this last statement here as we go. We must be overturned by his authority. We must be connected and understand his authority. So class, as far as I can go, you've been a good class, and we're going to take up from this next week. I'll see you later.